And I invite you to pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. For many years here at the North Hills Community Baptist Church, our youth group had a standing reservation on the calendar for the last week in June. And that last week in June, specifically on a Wednesday, the youth group would all gather here in the upper parking lot with a whole caravan of cars, and they'd start to pack those cars. They'd put in the tents that had been packed, they'd fill coolers, they'd bring the provisions that each of them were supposed to bring. Some of them evidently make last-minute trips to Giant Eagle to buy hot dogs and graham crackers and marshmallows and Hershey chocolate bars for those s'mores. And then when we get back here, the last things we throw in are our pillows, our sleeping bags, our air mattresses, and then the car doors shut and the caravan goes up to Thompson Run Road, all of the windows covered with bright markings that say creation or bust. Some of the people in the sanctuary have been to creation. And if you've never been to creation, the best way I can explain it to you is it's like a Jesus festival. Or if you're of a certain age, it's kind of like a religious Woodstock. 60,000 people from all over the eastern seaboard and points beyond descend on a town in central Pennsylvania called Mount Union, population 2,354, and they just take over. And it's not in the town. It's a little bit south on a farm there. But these 60,000 people come for 4 days, Wednesday through Saturday, and they come to hear outstanding Christian musicians, incredible Christian speakers. There are workshops, there's small groups, there are vendors everywhere, any possible thing you want to eat and drink. There are fringe stages with groups you've never heard of, but you soon will. There are even some rides, and if you get bored with all of that, you can go up the mountain, and you can stand there, and from that vista, you can see creation. Not just creation, the festival, but creation. And it's a wonderful time. And let me just say this to you. You've not lived until you've been in the mosh pit at creation. You know? The mosh pit, the main stage is here, and every night the 60,000 people, they gather there, right? And those of you who are privileged enough to get into the mosh pit, when the band starts playing and you're banging against each other and you're dancing away and 60,000 of your closest friends are behind you, Sherry, you've been in the mosh pit, haven't you? There you go. There you go. So we know of what we speak. You haven't lived. You really got to go. It's just an experience that needs to be experienced at least once in your life. I mean, there's people who literally are filled with the Spirit, and they don't feel self-conscious about expressing it. Hallelujah! Praise God! Jesus is Lord! And it's also a safe and loving environment. Where else can you go and camp with 60,000 people where you know you're okay if you don't zip up your tent? I mean, the biggest threat you'll face at creation is the possibility of being hurt by somebody who's trying to kill you with kindness and giving you a hug. Go to creation if you get a chance. June 2021. It's looking a little iffy now, but if not this year, next year. Well, one of ours used to be a regular at creation. When I say one of ours, I'm talking about Tony Campolo. He's an American Baptist minister, preacher, professor. And Tony was scheduled every year because if you've ever seen him, you never forget him. It's advisable not to sit in the first three or four pews because he gets so excited that he'll spin on you. But he is full of the Spirit, and it's tailor-made for creation. He's just a bundle full of enfleshed energy. And on this one particular year, he was scheduled on the last night of creation. That'd be a Saturday night. This is the big night. There are all these baptisms in the pond there. There are candle lights. It's an incredible service. And, of course, Tony had everybody revved up by the time the service was over. Now, because he lives in Philadelphia, and he used to work at Eastern University. It's not too far from Mount Union to Philadelphia. But a pastor of a Lutheran church in Lancaster invited him. He said, since you're going to be in Mount Union on that Saturday, why don't you come to my church and preach the Sunday night service? And that's what Tony did. He didn't tell anybody about this, but somehow word got around in creation that, hey, if you like Tony tonight, you can hear him again tomorrow night in Lancaster. So while they're back in the back here, the pastor comes out of the door with the guest speaker. Tony and the pastor are having a prayer. They open the door on that Sunday night, and the sanctuary is filled to the brim. I mean, every pew is filled. There are seats on the side. The balcony in the back is crammed. And the Lutheran minister literally, his mouth dropped, because he had never seen the church look like this. But he recovered. He had a big robe on, black robe with a white stole. He came over to the wooden pulpit. He looked out over the congregation, and he said in an authoritative voice, let us hear the call to worship. Come, let us make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Let us sing our praises to God. Let us shout to the Lord. And as soon as he got that sentence out, shout to the Lord, a young man in the balcony in the back stood up and said, all right, all right. And then that was the cue for everybody else who's from creation in the pews to say, yeah, Jesus is Lord. Praise God. This is wonderful. That's the Lutheran minister. I don't know if his mouth is closed yet, because that doesn't happen in a Lutheran church. That doesn't happen in a Presbyterian church. And hey, let's be honest, that doesn't happen in a Baptist church a lot of times. I remember when I went to my 10-year high school reunion, and some of my classmates still, they didn't believe me until I showed them my clergy card that I was actually a pastor. And a lot of my friends weren't church people. So I remember one of my friends came up to me and he said, so you're a pastor and you're Baptist. Now, what does that mean? Are you guys like holy rollers? And I said, you know, kind of a dry sarcasm, I said, no, we don't do that. In worship, we try to keep our emotions in check. It's just worship. Nothing special. But hear this morning's scripture. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation, a joyful noise to God with songs of praise. Let's do that, the psalmist says. But the last thing you expect if you use that for a call to worship is that people are actually going to stand up. All right, yeah, let's do that. Especially in church. Stu, if you can believe this, it'll be 5 years next month since Stu's gone. And I have, he was an incredible member of this church. He actually was on the building committee that constructed the building we're worshiping in here this morning back in the 60s. And then his career led him away from Pittsburgh, but he came back here and retired. And then he became an important part of the addition we ended up putting on in 1996. Very businesslike, very friendly. And I got a boatload of stories about Stu, but here's the one I want to share with you this morning. It happened in the early 1990s. I had invited Stu to come with us. We had about 10, 12, maybe 15 people who were going down to the Pittsburgh Baptist Association annual meeting. And it's not the kind of thing Stu usually went to, but it was some guys that he enjoyed, and he said, all right, I'll go. And it was being held at the Mount Ararat Baptist Church down in East Liberty. Great church. Wonderful pastor, the preaching is great, the fellowship, they're making a difference in that community, and the music. They had a choir, robed up and all. The choir would sit in the back in the balcony, and there had to be at least 40 people in that choir. And the service was filled with music and swaying and arms in the air. And the last song, the preacher gave a stirring sermon, and the last song went on for, it had to be 15 minutes, because I know we sang that last chorus at least 20, 25 times. Just, and we're swaying, and no, Stu didn't. But we walked out of the church, and we're walking back the streets of East Liberty to our car, and Stu hasn't said a word yet. And at one point, he reaches out, grabs my arm, and said, "Don't ever invite me to something like this again." And I never did, and he never went again. You don't come to church and expect this, or at least we don't. In this tradition, we're not Pentecostals. We're not holy rollers. But the psalmist says, come, shout praises to God. Raise the roof for the rock who saved us. And this is the message, right? This is the message, the paraphrase. Come, let's shout praises to God. Raise the roof for the rock who saved us. Let's march into his presence singing praise, lifting the rafters with our hymns. Or you could just boil that all down to, all right, all right. It sounds like something that shouldn't happen in church, but you might be surprised to know that over 150 times in the Old Testament, the word rejoice is used. And over 100 times, the word joy is used. And here's the amazing thing, because you don't really think of the Old Testament as this kind of a book, or church as a place where you dance, but the word dance is used over 40 times in the Old Testament. And my favorite story in the Old Testament using the word dance is in 2 Samuel 6. And you might remember this, when David and the Israelites bring back the Ark of the Covenant. The Philistines had captured it. They went and recaptured it, and they're bringing it back to the holy city of Jerusalem. And as they go into the city, here are the troops, here are the men carrying the Ark of the Covenant, here are others who are singing and dancing, and in the front leading is King David, dancing. He's only wearing an ephod, and he is dancing to beat the band. I just pause for a moment now. King David, can you picture President Trump? Can you picture President-elect Biden, you know, dancing? And here's the thing about the dance, too. If you read it in 2 Samuel 6, it's beyond PG. It's like R. Because Michal, his wife, calls him back into the afterwards, and she says to him, you made a fool out of yourself there, and you made a fool out of yourself in front of the whole people, the people of God, your countrymen. And here's what David says. David says, I was dancing before the Lord, and I'm willing to act like a fool in order to show my joy in the Lord. And this morning, the Bible instructs us. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation, a joyful noise to God with songs of praise. Now, this is a Sunday before Thanksgiving, and this is the lectionary reading that many churches are reading on this Sunday. And it makes sense. Our hearts are filled with thanksgiving. But I know that there are some who are watching this who may be saying to themselves, well, Pastor, this isn't really a Thanksgiving that we feel great about. This isn't really a normal Thanksgiving, and that's absolutely true. The fact that we're watching this on TV or your phone or your computer is evidence to the fact that as we speak, over 1.5 million people have died around the world of COVID-19, and the lion's share of them here in our country, over 250,000 people. And we've just been through a very divisive election cycle, and the division continues. And because of COVID, there are a lot of people on this Thanksgiving who are saying to themselves, I haven't lost my job yet, but I don't know what the future holds. And there are some who said, I've lost my job. So some of you are watching and thinking, how am I going to make that mortgage payment or pay that rent? How am I going to get groceries? What are we going to do about making a Christmas for the family? And all of us, I think almost all of us, the people I've talked to this week, our Thanksgiving and how we celebrate it is going to be radically different because there's not going to be as many people around the table. There's not going to be the family where we catch up, where we share, which makes Thursday special, but it's not this year. So if you came in today meditating, reflecting on the situation in which we find ourselves, if the psalmist were here, some of us might take the psalmist aside and say, was there any pain and sorrow back when you were living? Was there any injustice and unrighteousness? I mean, you know, look at what's going on in the world, and we should stand up and sing praises to God? And if the psalmist were here, I think the psalmist would say this. Yes, we should. And yes, we had pain and suffering, injustice and unrighteousness when I was alive. But it's because of that, that when the people of God gather, they are reminded. And so in those seven verses, the psalmist gives five reasons for why we should give thanks. First of all, he says, God is our rock. It's the strong presence, the place where you can stand and not be shaken. Then he says, God is the source of our salvation. And that's an upfront reminder in our face. It's not our 401k. It's not the state of our health. It's not the position we hold. God is the source of our salvation. Then the psalmist says, the Lord is king of all gods. There is no other. And fourthly, he says, the earth and the heavens were created by that God. And last and most comforting is this. He says that God is the shepherd and we are the sheep and he hasn't lost a sheep yet. It's good news. That's why we stand and give thanks. Because no matter where we find ourselves in life at this particular time, God is. God is. Circumstances change, but those things are immutable and immortal. I don't know what your Bible says as a heading for this song, but this psalm was used in worship. And a lot of scholars believe it was used as a processional for the people of God to actually join together and sing that as they come in to worship. So picture now the high priest leading the procession, the other priests behind, the dignitaries up front, and all the people of God who are coming into this narrow entrance. And when they're coming in, they have their hands up because they're not just saying sing praise. They're saying praise God. Some of them might even be channeling King David. It might even be dancing. We've come to give thanks to God. And when they did that together corporately, imagine how that affects your heart and mind. With hundreds of people gathered together in worship with you, it reminds you that regardless of the state of the world, your personal world and the state of the world at large, regardless of how dark it is, God is. Everything is never right with the world, but God is always God. And sometimes even popes need to be reminded of that. There's a great story about Pope John the 23rd. Back in January 1959, he let it be known that he was calling what came to be known as the Second Vatican Council. And when he made that announcement, an earthquake went through the Catholic Church. An earthquake went through Catholics, this turmoil, this tumult. What's going to happen? Nobody knew. And a lot of heat came Pope John the 23rd's way. And he confessed to an interviewer one day that he was having trouble sleeping. Now, when the Pope has trouble sleeping, That's when you got to worry. So the interview asked him, well, what do you do when you can't sleep? He said, I talk to myself. So, well, what do you say? Well, I say this. Giovanni, why are you not sleeping? Is the Pope in charge of the governance of the church, or is the Holy Spirit in charge of the governance of the church? It is the Holy Spirit, no? Giovanni, go to sleep. Go to sleep. God is still God. And so at night or in the daylight, shout for joy. Sing to the God of our salvation. And we have reason to do that. One of my favorite Christians is a monk called Thomas Merton. And in his book, Thoughts on Solitude, he writes these words. Every breath we draw is a gift of God's love. Every moment of existence is a grace, for it brings with it immense graces from God. Gratitude, therefore, takes nothing for granted, is never unresponsive, is constantly awakening to new wonder and to the praise of the goodness of God. And here's the part I love. For the grateful person knows that God is good, not by hearsay, but by experience. And that makes all the difference. I love that. The grateful person knows that God is good, not from hearsay, but from experience. Praise the Lord God. Now, I started with Tony Campolo. I'd like to end with Tony Campolo. I've heard him probably 50 times. So I think I've heard every story he's told. And now when he tells those stories and he's still going strong at 80, I watch other people just see how they're going to react. But Tony used to always talk about what it was like being a Baptist, especially in academia. And people would always come up to say, well, you know, do you handle snakes? I mean, what do Baptists do? And so he said that often people will come up to him and start asking, like, are you allowed to wear makeup? And he said numerous times people have asked me, Tony, can Baptists dance? And you've all heard this before, I think. Yeah. So you know Tony's answer. Tony's answer was, well, some can and some can't, you know? But I think Tony was in favor of dancing. I don't know that I've seen Tony dance. I've seen him raise his hands. I've seen him shout and sing, bowing down before the Lord. And I can tell you this, there are thousands of Baptists at creation every year, some of them in the mosh pit, some of them just raising their hands, some of them dancing. And if you go next time, you'll be invited to join in. Now, this is the Sunday before Thanksgiving, and the people of God have much to give thanks for. So I want you to think now as we get ready to sing our last song. There are a lot of Baptists who dance, but I'm going to guess that a lot of Baptists watching don't do that, especially in church. So start slow when we sing the song, okay? Maybe just raise a hand. If you want to shout out, all right, it's okay too, because it's just your spouse, maybe a couple family members there with you. Maybe you'll really get into it and you'll feel your feet moving. And if you want to dance, it's okay. Just make sure nobody's got their phone on them, okay? We're going to sing and we're going to shout to the Lord.